You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's gonna show you what was on the juke in the back.
Mercy, mercy, Mr. Percy. I'm Matt the Cat. Where it's at? Back on the scene with my 78 RPM record machine, flipping the flips to the flippity flops and dripping the drips to the drippity drops. Spinning the records of all of the greats, because I'm buried right here under these 78s. Oh, help dig me out, baby. Miss Rosie's tending the bar because we just got a new car and we gotta pay it off. Ooh, lordy, lordy, Miss Claudia, are you ready for another hour of only the finest in vintage rhythm and blues from the 1940s and 50s right here on the juke in the back? Or as I affectionately call it, the soul that came before rock and roll. The records that were inspiring the likes of Buddy Holly and Elvis, Carl Perkins and the Beatles, the Stones, the Kinks, the Who and Zeppelin. It all goes back to these vintage R&B sounds, and I'm laying them down around the town. So jump back, Jack, have a heart attack. I'm about to spin the shellac. This week we have kind of a unique feature. It's a duo that's more remembered today by the songs they wrote than by the frantic records they produced. But what makes this feature extra interesting is that they actually were born out of a vocal group. Are you thoroughly confused yet, cats and kittens? Well, I'll tell you. This week's feature on the juke in the back is Dawn and Dewey. That's Dawn Bowman, later known as Dawn Sugarcane Harris, and Dewey Terry. So before we can get to the crazy records that Dawn and Dewey made for Art Roop's Specialty Records out of Los Angeles, we have to start with the Squires. A group of guys out of Pasadena, California, they formed in 1954 at John Yore High School. Lee Gordeaux was the original lead tenor, who also did some of the songwriting. Chester Pipkin was a tenor singer as well as a guitar player and a songwriter. Henry Johnson sang bass. Bobby Armstrong sang baritone. And our heroes, Dewey Terry singing falsetto, and Dawn Bowman, who played piano and sang second tenor. But Don was a multi-instrumentalist. He could also play guitar and electric violin. We'll hear all about that later. So two cats, Ned Hurstam and Gordon Wolfe, were starting a new record label called Kix. They heard the Squires singing at a show locally in Pasadena and decided to give them a chance to be the first ones to record for their new record label. As you can imagine, the record came out as Kix Number 1. There was an up-tempo number called Lucy Lou on one side. But I'd like to flip it over and begin this week's Juke in the Back with a beautiful ballad, A Dream Come True, written by the Squires' own Chester Pipkin. And it's Chester and Lee Gordeaux sharing the lead on this one. It was issued in October of 54. And as you can imagine, it didn't go anywhere. But I think it's a perfect place to start off a show featuring the Squires, who would evolve into Dawn and Dewey for this week's Juke in the Back. So here are the Squires singing A Dream Come True.
Help me. the night gear. It was quite a thrill. I could hardly believe that it was real. So just kiss me once again.
I hope this love will never end. Our love, my life, I wanted someone like you. And now that I have you, I can't believe it's true. Let's go off together and make this a dream come true.
She didn't know how to mambo. She was coming from the dance hall, but she didn't know how to mambo. I said, come along with me, I'll teach you how to combo. Well, well, now
how will she mambo?
Well, that's a jumpin' little record with a Latin groove featuring Dewey Terry on lead vocal. That's kind of why I played that song, because, well, it's a good little record, but also it features Dewey, who would be one half of Don and Dewey, which we'll hear later on in the program. In late 1954 and early 55, both Dewey and Chester were working at Larry Mead's company, Perfection Plastic Products. This was a record pressing plant. Known for their cheap knockoff records, these are the EPs that several companies were producing at the time. They were no-name groups doing covers of the hit records of the day, and they would price them below the cost of the hit 45s. I think their biggest market was parents going up to record counters and just buying what they thought were the hit records for their kids, but in reality, they were buying the cheap knockoffs. Well, Larry Mead also owned a few record labels, and one of those record labels was Mambo. When he found out that two of his employees were also singing in a vocal group, he decided to give them a shot. Why did Larry Mead, the owner of the label, call it Mambo Records? Well, the Mambo craze was sweeping the country at the time, so he wanted to cash in on that. But he would soon realize that by calling your record label Mambo, you might confuse some of the DJs out there thinking that your music is Latin music, when in reality, most of it was vocal groups and jump blues. So he changed the name to Vida Records. The name change paid off just as he released Adorable by the Colts, and it started to gain national attention on Vida Records. But before we get to the label name change, the flip side of Doobie Doobie Wop Wop was a local hit for the Squires called Cindy. That's Cindy with an S, S-I-N-D-Y. It actually made the top 10 on the local Los Angeles Cashbox chart. Initially, I wasn't going to spin this one because, well, because Lee Gardot sings the lead, and I wanted to kind of focus on records that either Don or Dewey was singing on. But how can I not play Cindy? A tune that has become a vocal group classic. Here are the Squires from April of 1955 with Cindy.
We're gonna do the town, jump and stomp
rock all around me, girl. Come along with me. Forever and ever be my honeybee. Sweet girl, won't you please be mine? Oh, sweet girl, won't you please be mine? Love me, sweet girl, love, love all the time.
Sweet Girl with our boy Dewey Terry singing lead, issued in both September and October of 1955. You see, the record had to be reissued because there was a pressing issue with the September release. To me, that up-tempo number sounds like a Don and Dewey record that we would be hearing in just the next couple of years. The Squires were definitely getting some work, as Larry Mead had them backing up Effie Smith on some of her records. They did some sessions where they got credit, and others where they didn't. We know the one thing they weren't making at this time, and that's money. Though they were writing most of their own songs. Now, since so far we've heard Dewey Terry singing on a few records, let's hear a Squires record where Don Bowman gets the lead. You might say that this is like a breath of air here on the Juke in the Back, because this record is called Breath of Air. It was released on Vita Records in April of 1956 and features the Jackie Kelso Orchestra backing them up. This would also be the end of Don and Dewey's involvement with the Squires. Don and Dewey were convinced to leave the Squires by Effie Smith's husband, John Kreiner. He would eventually become manager of the Olympics. But one day, Kreiner heard Don and Dewey singing together, and he suggested, you know, you guys might want to go out on your own. You'll make more money that way. And without Don and Dewey, the Squires continued on. They recorded a cover of the Youngsters' Dreamy Eyes in early 1957. But they would evaporate over the next 2 years or so. Again, let's go back to April of 56. Here are the Squires featuring Don on lead with Breath of Air.
Because I tried for hard to win. That's where I made my biggest mistake.
Cause you know, that's when a father walked in. Oh yes, now I told the girl that I had better go. But I'm afraid I'm moving too slow. Cause then a father picked me off the floor. Or picked me up and kicked me out the door. A breath of air is what's caused it all. I didn't know just what to do. All I know is I was feeling blue. My body shook, my feet said to run. And then a father pulled out a gun. A breath of air is what's caused it all.
Now listen to me, friends, it's advice for you. If you ever feel something here, it's what you do. Just open up the window, don't go out the door.
Cause you may not ever get her back no more.
Now I turn my story to a song. I hope I didn't make it too long. They wanna know who wrote this song. Gonna tell you I won't do you wrong. A fresh air man wrote this song.
Generous support for Juke in the Back provided by weekly sustainers Janice Stenhouse, Robert Stallworth, Barry from San Diego, Mr. Lee, Joe Metzger, Bernie Rossman, Barry from Riverside, Arnold and Linda Rosenberg, Charles Liebman, Ken Farger, Gail Kuntz, Mark and Marion McAlpine, Glenn Dicker, Michael Carter, and contributors Gary Cipollone, Pamela Isabel, Jeffrey Ehrlich. Thank you for your support. More information at jukeintheback.org.
Miss Rosa here, keeping the tubes warm and the drinks cool at the Juke in the Back.
Slummin' is the name of that one, by Don and Dewey. Don had recently changed his name to Harris from Bowman, and Dewey was still Dewey Terry. What a unique sound that record has. What you're hearing there is electric violin. Don was a master of the electric fiddle and would play it for the rest of his life. In the early 70s, you'd find him on Frank Zappa records playing the electric fiddle. That single was issued in May of 1956 on John Kreiner's Spot label. But Kreiner didn't know what to do with that record, and so it didn't go anywhere. But just think if that song had been properly promoted. It didn't sound like anything else out at the time. Hell, it doesn't sound like anything else released since that time. Well, remember, John Kreiner was the husband of Effie Smith, who the Squires backed up on a couple of records. After convincing Don and Dewey to go solo, he didn't know what to do with them. So he let Mike Akapoff and Jack Andrews, who owned Shade Records, release Don and Dewey's next single. This one, Miss Sue, really has the flavor and flair of future Don and Dewey records. It's wild, it's crazy, it's out of control, and it's spinning on the Juke in the Back as we feature the great unsung duo of Don and Dewey this week. Let's hear Miss Sue.
I got a woman with money in her every hand. She's been all over the world from sea to sand. She's
up the last night. I was told, went up there and bought out. I ought to go prison. No child, don't you know? Every day, baby, it's rolling in the dirt. Miss Sue say, Daddy, do you love me too? I said, yeah, mama, child, you know I do. She grabbed a purse and then she jumped out of tin. She said, come on, Daddy, let me hear you. Say it again. Don't you know?
Jungle Hop, recorded at their very first specialty recording session, held on the 29th of January, 1957, in Los Angeles. Specialty issued it as their first release in April of 57. Now, how did they get to Specialty? Well, John Kreiner just didn't know what to do with them, so he arranged to sell their contract to Art Rupe at Specialty Records. He got A&R man Bumps Blackwell interested in the boys, and the rest is history. They got signed to Specialty. They would not score a hit for Specialty Records. However, Specialty did handle their publishing because they were writing most of their songs. And so, when other artists started scoring hits with Don and Dewey Records, things worked out quite nicely for Specialty. Here's a perfect example. They wrote the song, I'm Leaving It All Up to You. It was recorded on July 19th of 57 and issued in August. It took a while, but it became a huge hit for Dale and Grace at the end of 1963, hitting number one on the pop chart and number six, Rhythm and Blues. But let's go back to 57. On that July 19th session, Renee Hall was leading the session, and he played guitar on it. He might have played piano. Both Don and Dewey were on guitars. Ted Brinson was on bass, and the great Earl Palmer was pounding them tubs. So now, cats and kittens, let's hear the original version of I'm Leaving It All Up to You. It's this week's feature on the Juke in the Back, Don and Dewey.
I'm leaving it all up to you. You decide what you're gonna do. Now, do you want my love? Or are we through? I was a fool.
Gonna get cream for my little buttercup.
Justine,
Justine, Justine. raise a child. Wow!
Oh, that's a rocker, baby. Justine, Dawn, and Dewey, the feature on this week's Juke in the Back. Now, Justine, of course, wasn't a hit for them, but it was a hit for the Righteous Brothers in 1965. I mean, it wasn't a huge hit. It only went to number 85, but still. Now, Dawn and Dewey recorded that one on March 27th of 58 with Dawn on bass, Dewey on piano, Renee Hall and Melvin J on guitars, Plaz Johnson on tenor, Jewel Grant on alto, and Earl Palmer on the tubs. Let's flip that one over for the always ready to go, always ready to play, Bim Bam.
Bing bang, boom, 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 kabam, boom.
Now it's time for the Great 78, where we take a thick piece of shellac and harken back to a time when 78 RPM records were king. This week we're featuring Dawn and Dewey. Let's hear another tune that was later covered by the Righteous Brothers. It was written by Sonny Bono, who was working at Specialty Records at the time. If you look at the writing credit, it says S. Christie. He was using an alias, and Christie was the name of his first child who had just been born in early 1958. The tune was recorded on March 27th, but not released until July of 58. And it's this week's Great 78 as we head to the jungle for Dawn and Dewey and Coco Joe.
In the jungle, there's a monkey named Coco Joe. Coolest little monkey that you ever know. You don't have a tail like the other monkeys do. You trimmed and it suede and it dyed it blue. Coco Joe, let me tell you about a Coco Joe. Coco Joe, the coolest little monkey in town. Coco, let me tell you, is no square eight. He wears Ivy Leaguers with a crazy drape. You should see his walk, it's the funniest thing. He changed the stroll to the monkey swing. Coco Joe, now let me tell you about a Coco Joe. Coco Joe, the coolest little monkey in town.
Ah! Oh, that cat really flips the chicks. Got a tough line of chatter that really clicks. And when they talk about marriage like the other monkeys do, sit here, baby, not later for you. Coco Joe, let me tell you about Coco Joe. Coco Joe, the coolest little monkey in town. Coco Joe, let me tell you about Coco Joe.
One more thing, this is Bobby the Bobcat, making you want to jump, dive, and wheel.
I'm riding you, darling, to say goodbye. I know it will hurt you. Yes, you will cry. Won't you forgive me? I know I am wrong. I've been pretending and leading you on. I'm writing this letter. Forget me, I wrecked your life, but darling, you let me. I'm writing this a letter. And telling you lies. Throw away my picture, darling, forget me. I wrecked your life, but darling, you let me.
Don and Dewey with a ballad. You don't hear that very often from them. They wrote it too. It's called The Letter, and it was recorded on October 29th of 1957. And it was released as the flip side of Coco Joe in July of 1958. I'm Matt the Cat, and you're digging on the soul that came before rock and roll, 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues, right here on the Juke in the Back, as we feature an unsung duo of Don and Dewey. They recorded for Specialty Records for about 3 years and didn't score any national hits. However, their records did become big hits for other artists, and so the publishing worked out okay. And they became like an underground group. Like, it was like when you discovered the treasure trove of Don and Dewey 45s, you were really onto something special, and maybe you and only a few other people knew about these records. I guess this week I'm letting the cat out of the bag on the frantic recordings of Don and Dewey. You might know this next song, which was first recorded on October 21st of 1957, but that version wasn't released. It was re-recorded on January 20th of 59 and issued in February. Now, Don and Dewey wrote this one, and in 1964, it would become a number 19 pop hit for the Premiers. Later in the decade, it was recorded by Neil Young. But let's hear the original. Don and Dewey with Farmer John.
Farmer John, I'm in love with your daughter. Champagne eye.
dig the way she walks, the way she talks. She really knocks me out. She starts me to shout, oh, oh.
Boy, look at him.
Farmer John, I'm in love with your daughter.
Look at him.
Farmer John, I'm in love with your daughter. Oh, the one with the champagne eyes. She knows that I love her, yet it's still she tells me lies. Farmer John, Farmer John. All of a sudden, up drove a Cadillac, and out stepped a cat named Pete. Diamonds on every finger, he wore a tailor-made suit. He smoked a black cigar, he wore a Stetson hat, he wore a pair of cowboy boots. He busted on through the doorway, just as bad as a he can be. On his pistol, he turned around, he said, my name is a Big Boy Pete. The music stopped,
there wasn't a sound. Over in a corner stood a bad man Brown. Brown smiling grin, he said, my friend, come 3 steps farther and I'll do you in.
Now Pete said, I look a here, buddy, before I tend your hide, I got a 45 to keep me alive and 7 bullets on my side.
Brown pulled a knife, he jumped on Pete. They fought from the counter right to out to the street. They swung from north, they swung from south. Brown cut that black cigar right out of Pete's mouth. Brown slipped around behind poor Pete, cut him from his head right on down to his feet. Pete hit the ground, he yelled and screamed. He picked up his studs and had him flee the scene.
Now if you're ever down on the corner, down on a honky-tonk street, don't mess with Brown, he'll cut you down. Take a lesson from a Big Boy Pete.
What a single that was. Big Boy Pete on one side, and if you
flip it over, baby,
you get Farmer John on the other side. Man, Big Boy Pete. It didn't chart for Don and Dewey, but it hit number 10 on the rhythm and blues chart and number 50 on the pop chart for the Olympics. Remember John Kreiner, the husband of Effie Smith, who convinced Don and Dewey to break away from the Squires and become a duo? Well, he was the manager of the Olympics at that time. Big Boy Pete had an even longer shelf life when the Kingsmen rewrote the lyrics, and in 1965, it became the Jolly Green Giant. Well, since nothing was really shaking its specialty, when Sonny Bono decided to leave the label to join Sid Talmadge's Rush Records, Don and Dewey went with them. They recorded some good singles for Rush, and we're going to end the show with one from '62. But you know, going to Rush Records was probably not the best idea because once again, there wasn't a budget to really market Don and Dewey. So soon after that, about 1964, they joined up with Little Richard's band and became part of his act. And when Richard rejoined Specialty Records, so did Don and Dewey for a couple of more releases. Then Don and Dewey broke up, but it wasn't like a bad split. They would still get back together once in a while and play, but they just kind of went their separate ways. As I mentioned earlier, Don Harris became Don Sugarcane Harris and released a couple of blues violinist albums. Many years ago, I was at a record store with my friend Steve, and he pointed out a Don Sugarcane Harris album called Sugarcane from 1970 on Epic, and I had not heard of it before, and he suggested I take it home. Well, as soon as I looked it up, I realized that was Don Harris of Don and Dewey, and that blew my mind. And it's a great record, too. It's really cool. His electric fiddle playing is just fantastic. We lost Sugarcane on December 1st, 1999, at the age of 61. Dewey Terry passed away at the age of 65 on May 11th, 2003. I hope you've enjoyed this week's spotlight on the great unsung duo of Don and Dewey. Remember, until next time, cats and kittens, soul, it's a feeling, and you get that feeling each week when you tune into your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues right here on the Juke in the Back. We're going to close it down with a 1962 release on the Rush label. It's another instrumental, kind of like Slummin' from 56, featuring Don Harris's electric fiddle playing the blues. I'm Matt the Cat, and I'll catch you next time on the Juke in the Back. Have a great week, everybody. Gonna leave you with Don and Dewey and Soul Motion. Bye-bye.
whiskey and the women have all gone home. Thanks for dropping by. Feel free to let Matt the Cat know if you dug the show. Email him at mattthecat@mattthecat.com. Juke in the Back is recorded at Rosie's Juke Joint, located at the Stepping Stone Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. For more information, please visit jukeintheback.org. I'm Miss Rosie. See you next time on the Juke in the Back.